Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The grace of our risen Savior, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome everyone on this joyous Easter morning. As you've already been
The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, 34 through 43. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witness, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 118 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now proclaim that his mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord is triumphed. The Lord has punished me sorely, but he did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter. The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 15:1-11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you come to believe. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark writes, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?' When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. As the women enter the tomb very early on the first day of the week, the sun having risen, they see a young man dressed in white sitting on the right side, and they are alarmed. They are afraid. They are scared half to death. No kidding. After all, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, have come to anoint the body of Jesus and prepare it, more properly, for burial. They bought spices and brought them to the tomb just for that purpose, since there hadn't been time when his body was taken from the cross before the Sabbath began, and laid all too quickly in what everyone imagined would be its final resting place. But when the women arrive at the tomb, Jesus' body isn't there. It isn't there. So, of course, the women are alarmed. Of course, they're fearful and anxious and confused and uncertain. How not? How not? Whenever I've taken someone to the cemetery and come back later to visit, the body has always been there, right where I left it. I haven't lost a single, in 23 years of ministry, I haven't lost a single body. Imagine my surprise, or imagine your own surprise, if what is happening to these friends of Jesus were to happen to us. We go to the cemetery, the body isn't there. "Don't be alarmed," says this odd young man, probably with an oh-so-gentle lift of the hand. Yeah, right. He sounds like that angel on Christmas Eve who, having just scared the bejeebers out of those poor shepherds by appearing suddenly in the night sky, tells them, "Now don't be afraid." Uh-huh, sure. "Fear not. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." Oh, thanks a lot. That really helps. Well, no, it doesn't. The women are not calmed by the words of this young man. All of this is just so not normal. A young man in white sitting in a tomb early in the morning. A crucified man raised, gone from his grave, absent without leave. Since this is a Navy town, I can talk about absent without leave, and you all know what that means, right? It is all too strange and quite alarming, thank you very much, at least for the women in Mark's gospel. Maybe not so much for us. Maybe not so alarming for us. We have here in our own time and in our own place so many other things that alarm us, or have the potential to alarm us, that what is happening early on that first day of the week so long ago may not even grab us, may not even get our attention. We get or can get alarmed about all kinds of things: crime statistics, stock market prices, weather forecasts, at least maybe not so much out here, but back home, oh yes. Political campaigns, heart disease, street drugs, school crises, changing neighborhoods, television, warfare in this place and that, all alarm us. It gets to be a long list. Will it ever stop growing, we wonder? So what? So what if the body of one more dead troublemaker has gone missing? What has that really to do with us? "Look," says the young man, "there is the place they laid him." And again, the women are not soothed by this. What the young man shows them is nothing. He doesn't show them their Lord, dead or alive. He doesn't even show them a photograph or a video clip. He doesn't even show them what we can get on CNN. You know? Only the place where his body had been but is no longer. And he tells them simply, "He has been raised." What in the world are these poor astonished women to make of all this? Or what, for that matter, are we not so astonished people to make of it? We see the same nothing that the women do. We see the same nothing. We do not see our Lord Jesus, dead or alive. In fact, we don't even see the place where he lay in death. All we see is each other. Look around. Look around. What we see is each other, and we see the water of baptism, and we see bread and cup all telling of the crucified, together with some startling news ringing in our ears: "He has been raised." That's what we see. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you," says this young man. But tell the disciples and Peter what? Tell them what? Tell them about the young man. Tell them about the empty tomb. Tell them about their own fear and confusion and dread. So the women simply flee from the tomb. Seized with terror and amazement, they say nothing to anyone, says Mark. They say nothing to anyone because they are afraid. Their alarm renders the women silent. Renders them silent. Mark's gospel ends in silence. So now, how will our lack of alarm render us, if indeed we are not moved either to terror or amazement by the events of this day? On this morning, on this first day of the week, how will we respond to this word that is floating about, He is risen? Will we be silent too, like Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome? Or will we break the silence instead? And if we do, how will we do it? How will we do it? In the midst of all those other things that alarm us instead, even if we aren't so sure that any of this grabs us at all, will we tell of people gathered to hear the startling news, He has been raised, He is not here, He has gone ahead of you into the world? Will we tell of water refreshing weary and troubled lives because He has been raised, He is not here, He has gone ahead of you into the world? Will we tell of bread and cup spread to feed everyone who hungers and thirsts for this one who has been raised, who hungers and thirsts for this one who is not here, who hungers and thirsts for this one who has gone ahead of us into our world, into our world? On this now not so early morning, on this first day of the week, the sun having risen, and Jesus having risen too, what will we say?
We sing our hymn of the